All right, Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. I think I said number 3, but Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to pick up, we're looking at this prospecting through Proverbs, and it's kind of strange what we've hit. Last Wednesday night, I believe it was last Wednesday night, we read chapter 5, and we picked chapter 6 up at verse number 24, read the rest of that chapter, and then we read chapter 7, which it's mostly all about keeping the wisdom to keep away from a strange woman, the problems of immorality and the reaping of immorality and all those kind of things. There's lots and lots of wisdom there. We kind of buzzed through that. But it is interesting that we're looking at right now, this is where we're at. Didn't plan on this, but this is where we're at. And right now in our nation, we have a cultural kind of a sea change coming in. And the world calls it the Me Too movement. How many knows what the Me Too movement is? All right, if you've been, what it is women claiming, all that sometime in the past or whatever, they were assaulted one way or another sometime in history by someone. And it manifests itself in the media world, the political world, and so forth. And I was this afternoon, you know, thinking about the message tonight or the service tonight, and I wanted to pick up with chapter 6 and go through verse 1 down to where we picked in, that's right in the middle. So we're going to do that right now, but we're going to talk tonight about the issue of false witnesses. And boy, when I got to thinking about this and I started looking at scriptures, my radar went off really, really big. And so there's a lot of areas tonight I would encourage you to write. I'm going to give you a lot of references, and I'm going to ask you to, you know, be involved with it, but we're going to try to move and keep rolling. One thing I would say tonight is this. I just want to plant this seed of thought as we get ready to start. In Exodus chapter 20, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gave the Ten Commandments. The eighth commandment says this: thou shalt not bear false witness. It does not say thou shalt not lie. And I've always wondered why it didn't say just lying. Because most people will take that commandment and will say, well, you know, one of the commandments, you ain't supposed to lie. And, of course, it goes ahead and talks about against your neighbor and whatever. But false lying is a manifestation of false witness. It's like the fruit off of the root of the false witness. And so I want you to be thinking about this. And when I got to thinking about it, it's so much in the Bible, it's amazing. All right. Proverbs chapter 6, my son, if thou be surety. Now keep in mind, this is context right in the middle of all these Proverbs chapter on immorality and women and so forth like that. If thou be surety for thy friend, if thou stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself, make sure thy friend give not sleep to thy eyelids, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And that past scripture primarily is dealing with situations where you may have agreed to something and you realize you should not have, and it telling you to you struck your hand with the deal, you made a deal, you said you'd do something, and you want out of it. If you want out of it, you need to go and get to that person and ask to be released from it. Okay, that's what it's telling you there. And it, don't give sleep, don't think about it, go do it immediately. You're a very strange person if you've not made commitments that you wished you had not made. Most people have said they would do things that they, you know, later on wish they hadn't have. And now, just to give you a reference on that, if you want to write this down, Psalms 15:4, where the Bible says about a man that him that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Him that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. God expects us to keep our word, but if we get into a situation, he does tell us here that we should at least go make an appeal and try to if we feel like, man, I shouldn't have done that. You might be surprised sometimes. People might say, hey, yeah, it's okay. We don't have to go through with that if you don't feel comfortable with that or whatever it may be. Don't want to spend a lot of time there tonight, but that is an important issue in life. You're going to get hit with that. You're going to have to deal with some things that you maybe would wish that you did not have to do, that you said you would do. Now we go to verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Huge, huge study here. Consider her ways, be wise, which having no guide, overseer, rooter, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, whom thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold in the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That is a huge, huge subject, slothfulness, sleeping, so forth. If you want to do a good study on ants, go to the Men's Manual number 2, I believe it is the Financial Manual from Institute and Basic Life Principles, and they have an entire chapter with diagrams and paintings and drawings of ants and this Bible study right here. It's phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. It's worth anybody's time to go do that. If you don't have one of those, you can get one, I think, over here in the library. So now we come down to verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walk with the froward mouth. Froward means crooked and perverted. And it's a deep word. It's a very strong word, very strong word. Someone who's twisted in their mind and twisted in their heart. Can anybody help me tonight define a narcissist? You hear this, you know, Zachary helped me with this a little bit this week. A narcissist. Huh? Someone who's completely loving themselves. I'm just honest with you. I asked, Zach said something about, he said, he's a narcissist. I said, well, Zachary, what is that? I always hear that word used. And he said this. He said, it's someone who believes their own lies. They really do believe their own lies. They believe that everything they think and everything they say is right and true in the face of all the obvious evidence right in front. So I keep that in mind. Now, I don't know, sister, that, and it may be the reason they think that's because they're in love with themselves. I think there's a connection there. But, and if I'm wrong on that, you can get back to me on that. But it says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walk with a froward mouth. So that mouth is twisted, is crooked. I do know that froward means crooked and twisted deeply to a point of where just everything that nearly comes out of their mouth has a twist to it, has an angle to it. And it's very, very, very close to, and sometimes often is, a reprobate. They say right's wrong and wrong's right. And you hear it and you go, who could believe that? And I mean, we're seeing it. You're seeing these Antifas and you're seeing these socialists and these protesters and stuff. I mean, and these people, and they say stuff, you go, how in the world could they believe that? How could they think that way? But I want to tell you something. If you don't have this Bible as a basis for your thinking, you get twisted, you get froward. And that's why we need to have a Bible-based culture. Well, then it says in verse 13, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Now, that's a lot of stuff right there. I mean, there's body language there, there's eye contact and all this stuff. But anyway, frowardness is in his heart. He's crooked, he's perverted, he's messed up, he's unbiblical, okay? He deviseth mischief continually. See, it's more than just saying something that's wrong. He's really thinking through how he devised this stuff. I mean, he's thinking this thing through. How can I do this to people? And he did. Now, here's the results of it. He soweth discord. He soweth discord. Now, there's a word you need to write down there, and that's the dissembler. The Bible speaks a lot of a dissembler, and that's a person who separates chief friends. A whisperer separated his chief friends. It's a person who is, I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing more satanic than a dissembler. I mean, they will separate families, separate husbands and wives, separate children. I mean, you're talking about deep, deep darkness and demonic activity here. Now, verse 15 says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. So God says, hey, that kind of person, don't worry about him. I will take care of him eventually, and it'll come fast and sudden on him. Verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Number one, a proud look, a lying tongue. By the way, a proud look is often accompanied with contemptuousness. They look down on people and they feel they're superior to people in every way. By the way, that's what a lot of your elitism is in America right now. You're leftists. I want to tell you, they look at people. You ever hear, oh, them stupid flyover states? Look at those red states. Those people don't know how to come in and out of the rain. That's the kind of thing you've got, this proud look. This, you don't, you know, right now, Trump yesterday, I don't care if we like him or not, he made one of the greatest speeches that ever has been made by an American president at the UN yesterday. I read that thing in its entirety. We have never had a president like this in my life, ever. He's the most plain-spoken, truthful-speaking person when it comes to that. You can talk about his past or what you want to. Maybe he's sorry as the devil himself. But I'm going to tell you what. I put more stock in what I'm actually hearing, what he actually says. And those people, you know what they did? They laughed at him. And I want to tell you something. The Bible's got something to say about that. That laughing is a way of trying to cover your hatred and your pride And it's a scorning mocking. That laugh was a scorning mocking. But they didn't really know what else to do with what he said, because he told them that globalism is the wrong way to go and patriotism is the way to go. And I can't even begin to say what he said. But I'm telling you, this here proud look, you know what they were doing? It was a bunch of proud, cocky, arrogant people in the United Nations trying to laugh down somebody who was totally going the opposite direction they want to take this country in. And a lot of times when people can't win an argument with them, they'll scorn laugh at you. And so this proud look. Then he said a lying tongue. Now we're talking about false witnesses tonight. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. Look how this is tied together. Can anybody tell me what the real issue about Kavanaugh is tomorrow? It's abortion. What is it setting the liberals on fire? They are afraid that he will, that they know that if he's put on that court, the court actually has within its power the power to overturn Roe versus Wade, which is the shedding of innocent blood, which is connected to lying tongues, which is connected to a proud look. And all this, watch this, this is all set within the context of a strange woman. I mean, all day long, my brain's been running just the scriptures. You know, I've just been thinking. We was working cattle. I was standing there thinking. In fact, I was outside working, and it got so much, I went in the house, and I started writing stuff down because I thought, if I don't write this down, I'll forget it because I know myself. But anyway, look at verse number 18. And heart that it deviseth wicked imaginations. This attorney that came up today with all this stuff and all these accusation stuff, that man, if you look at him, he's demonic. He is exactly what that... A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's exactly what they're doing tonight. They've dredged up all these wicked imaginations. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about false witnesses, how they think, how they operate. And we're going to move it from the Supreme Court deal pretty soon, right down to our homes, right down to our personal lives. And Lord, being our helper tonight, if I can keep running. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. And I mean, they're moving. They're moving. And then a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, there's your word, a false witness that speaketh lies. And then the seventh one, he that soweth discord among the brethren. And if we don't have discord in this country right now, I don't know what we got. So let's go to, so we got this Proverbs deal right here in the context of it. And we're going to hit a lot of scriptures. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 5. Let's turn there and just flip it or write it down and listen to the scriptures. I'm going to turn and read. The Bible said in Proverbs 19, verse number 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Verse 28 of that same chapter, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Man alive, you talk about, that's exactly, we have at least 4 to 5 Democrat senators in the last 2 or 3 days who have literally said that they have flipped justice system up on its head. They are froward. They're twisting, they're crooked, and this is how they're doing it. They're saying that he must prove his innocent. That's the first time in American history that I've ever heard people that claim they're going to uphold the Constitution say that if you're accused, you have to prove you're innocent. Heretofore, in the history of this nation, if you're accused, you're presumed innocent until you're proven guilty. That is a law, that is a facet of American justice system, and it is based straight out of the Bible. You can read the Apostle Paul talk about it, that a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. The Old Testament statutes and judgments deal with this issue, that you can be accused of something. You don't have to bear the responsibility to defend yourself. You're not guilty until you're proven unguilty. You are not guilty until you're proven guilty. And in America, you're innocent until you're proven guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. And there's a reason for that, and the reason is because of false witnesses. False witness is a product of our fallen, depraved, sinful, wicked, nasty nature. Our flesh is corrupt, and there is no good in it. And God knows that we seldom tell anything like it really is. We seldom tell anything. And the reason being is, this past 2-3 years, God has given me a verse, committed to him that judgeth righteously, Jesus Christ. And the reason that's such a wonderful verse is because I don't know the facts about every situation. And if I'm not careful, I'm telling something without really knowing the full facts of the matter. We've got to keep going, but that an ungodly witness, I believe this is what we've got coming here tomorrow, is ungodly witnesses. and they scorn judgment. Now, how do they scorn judgment? They say, you've got to prove your innocence. We don't have to prove that what we say is right. You've just got to disprove it. That's scorning judgment. That's flipping justice upon top of his head. The mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. I'm telling you, they're just devouring iniquity is our way and the ungodly way, and they're devouring it. Well, let's go to, we're going to hit a lot, Psalms 27:12. And I just want to hit these verses. I hope I'm not. Psalms 27:12. The Bible said, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. False witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out what? Cruelty. Now, this is a prophetic verse referring to Jesus Christ when he was going to be in his ministry and at his trial. And by the way, all of history, Jesus Christ is still falsely accused in this world. He's accused of not being God. He's accused of not being risen from the dead and all kinds of junk. This is a prophetic verse, but it's very understanding that cruelty comes from false witnesses. You can expect that. So now let's go to Psalms 35, verse number 11. Psalms 35, verse number 11. Again, this is a prophetic verse. False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things I knew not. Now, just breaking here for a second. The Bible not only gives us statutes and gives us wisdom and truth, it usually gives us examples. This is exactly what happened to Joseph. Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. He put everything in his hands. What's the story? Potiphar's wife went after him. He resisted her. Finally, one day, in a final deal, he had to leave and leave his coat. She was so angry at him that she did what? She accused him of attempted rape. This is exactly what you've going on in the news. You tell me this Bible isn't up on the news date, I'll tell you it is. And attempted rape. What happened to that man? He's put in prison. And by the way, nobody but God Almighty ever finally told the truth about the matter. And I want to promise you tonight that if you have false witnesses that have witnessed against you, the truth will come out someday. And by the way, if we have given false witness, the truth will come out about that someday. God, and what, that's part of what God wants us to learn out of Joseph's deal. The truth will eventually come out. Now, then you've got another deal. You've got Jezebel. She raised up false witnesses against Naboth. She said that she brought in false witnesses, the Bible says. And they come in there and what they say? Oh, he blasphemed God and blasphemed the king. Hadn't done no such a thing. But false witnesses. False witnesses are very powerful in that the Bible, if somebody else can carry your water for you, it has more power than you saying it yourself. That's why they're desperately looking for witnesses for this woman tomorrow. They've dredged up four witnesses so far and not a one of them collaborate her story yet. But don't be surprised tomorrow if they dredge somebody up and says, oh, I was there and I saw it and all that kind of stuff. False witnesses are very, very powerful. What happened to Naboth? They killed him and his sons and took his property. False witnesses is a very dangerous thing to do. And I'm telling you, what happened to Ahab and Jezebel over it? Dogs licked up their blood. And yet, by the way, it happened suddenly. God's word is true. And I'm just saying this, that God's kind of opened my eyes. I never knew. I did a search this afternoon. I never knew the Bible had so much to say about false witness. It is all the way through. By the way, getting Revelation just even. So let's go down to Exodus chapter. Go back clear to Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16. Exodus 20, verse number 16. Try to get in here if I can. This is actually where the commandments are. He said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay, you've got that base thing that comes out of that. That's the eighth commandment. It's also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But what I do want you to do is go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now, he gives you the base commandment, the foundational commandment. And then as the Bible goes through, he builds on that and gives you some case studies on it. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse number 6, It said this, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, he that is worthy of death be put shall be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. All right, so God teaches about this thing. Now watch verse number 7 very carefully. That I want you to notice something here. The Bible will tell you and teach you. How many knows that this woman demanded that Kavanaugh not be in the same room at the same time she was? She has demanded that, and she has received that. She will not have to sit at the same room, at the same table, even at the same table, much less the same room. There's a real problem. If I was a senator tonight, that right there would have thrown me totally away from her. And the reason being, the Bible teaches in verse number seven, that the hands of the witnesses shall first be upon him and put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So shall you put evil away from among you. This is the principle of that the accused has the right to face their accusers. Yeah. Now, why is that a good law? It's because if the accused is innocent, he has what's called clear conscience power. And the accuser is guilty, their conscience is bothering them to sit there and destroy that person, and they don't want to be around him. When that woman said, I will not be in the same room as that man, she was telling the whole world, if they'll look at their Bibles, I am lying. Yeah. I am lying. I am afraid to face him. I'm afraid to be around him. Now watch the frowardness. Watch the word froward connected. What they did and took that and said, the reason is because, what he did to me 36 years ago. Right. If she really cared about what she says she cared about, she would be glad to face him and finally say, I'm glad to finally nail your hide. And she wouldn't have a bit of trouble looking him in the face and the eyes about it. Yeah. So, I mean, this thing is so biblical. This thing is so, because it's just wild. Exodus, we got that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, and we're looking at various scriptures on this subject. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And so here's the beauty of having the Bible as the base of your culture and your social structure. If people were reading their Bibles and our operation was based upon scripture, and people in their heart, they'd say, well, you know what the Bible says, don't raise a false report. Don't be an unrighteous witness. If the Bible was their guide, the Bible was their North Star. And so, again, that's just that teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 19, let's hit that again. Deuteronomy chapter 19, over there in some verses. Now, I know I'm jumping around, but you can write these down. Deuteronomy chapter 19, we're going to read verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men, now watch this, both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. Now, there's a very important thing right in here. How many knows that used to in America, when you went to be a witness, when they called you up to the witness stand, the bailiff would tell you to raise your right hand. He'd tell you to raise your right hand, and you would take your left hand and do something. What'd you do? Put on the Bible. Why did our forefathers have you to do that in court? It's right there in that passage of scripture, and it says, in verse 17, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall do what? Stand before the Lord. Here is a great piece of wisdom about justice and court scenes. You have to move the people beyond human beings. You have to move them and make them aware that they are being heard by Almighty God and that He knows what they're saying. When they put their hand on that Bible, I'm going to tell you something. They were saying, you're saying this before Almighty God. And you're going to give an account for what you say here today. And you may lie to us. And you may fool this court. But you're not going to fool God. And so when they took the Bible out of our courtrooms and just had them raise their hand, It took God out of the courtrooms, and now there's not that higher power to affect the conscience of the person to get truth out of them. And it's no wonder that our justice system gets so perverted, because we've told God, get out of the courtroom. We don't even want you here anymore. We're smart enough to figure out who's lying and who's not lying, and we're stupid because we're not. I'm telling you something. It's like preaching the gospel. It has to go deeper than man's preaching. Man's words, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit bearing the truth of the word of God to the spirit of that person, to the heart and mind of that person, or you've got nothing. It's just another talk. And there's plenty of those. Anyway, he says there that they shall make diligent inquisition. And that's all great and everything. And if the witness be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall you put evil away from among you. And by the way, this is where your eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth comes from in the New Testament. Here was the deal. They said, the Pharisees, and I'm jumping rabbit trails now, the Pharisees had so twisted the Old Testament up, and they had done this deal, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. That was a civil matter. That was not a personal matter. They shifted it from a civil matter to a personal matter when it was never that. What it was saying was, in a court of law, if that person came and made a false accusation and was trying to damage that person, and you found out he was lying, then his civil punishment would be exactly what he wanted to do to that person. It wasn't personal, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. That was never what God taught. God never taught for me to go around knocking another guy's tooth out if he knocked my tooth out. That was a civil thing. It's like death penalty. God never gave you and I, except in the matter of self-defense and so forth and protecting our families, the right to go out and be judge, jury, and executioner to a guy who stole. That's called taking the law in your own hands. God ordained authority through which he is to work his laws and his effect. Okay, let's go to write down 1 Kings 21, because that's your Naboth story, 1 Kings 21. But there's some interesting statements in there about how they brought in these false witnesses. How they coached them what to say. I can promise you that tomorrow there's going to be a lot of coaching going on tonight and in the morning. There's going to be a lot of coaching about what to say and how to say it, how to look and how to make your eyes do. And if you can, make some tears come down. And if you can, look very sorrowful. They're going to be coaching them tonight. False witnesses is not a new thing. Genesis 38, again, that's where Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Proverbs, let's go back to the book of Proverbs. We'll hit several right here and try to head down the home stretch here. Proverbs chapter 12, if I can ever get there. Proverbs chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Proverbs chapter 14, let's look at it. 14 and verse number 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but this afternoon or this evening, they took this lady's, they put out her lie detector test. Now, you're talking about wild. This is wild. A former, not current, but a former FBI agent gave her the lie detector test in a motel room. And they're wanting to bring that. And they are bringing it. There's a problem. They've looked at the text of this already, and she's lied. She lied in that lie detector test. They say she passed it, but she has crossed her own current testimony with it about the number of people that were there and how many men were there and how many women were there. Any court of law right now, the judge would have already thrown this thing out across the street. Let me tell you tonight, I'm going to say something. This is not about those women's attempted rape. Nothing to do with that. These women are being used. And they're being used willingly for a liberal progressive cause to keep abortion on the books in America. They could care. Can I tell you tonight that liberals care? They care nothing about women being raped. And I'm going to tell you, in fact, if it is, the liberals are the one who started this sexual revolution. The liberals are the one who said we ought to be able to do anything we want to do without any shame and anybody saying it's sin. And now, and then that brought the abortion situation. You think for a second that they want people to be moral? You think they're concerned about fornication, sodomites, adultery, and anything else? You think they're concerned about that? You think they're concerned about anybody raping? Not hardly. Because if they were, they would be promoting morality, not immorality. And they're reprobate, they're froward, they're crooked. They don't care about girls out here. You know what they want? I am on a roller go, but Planned Parenthood. You talk about it. They have to have young ladies expecting out of wedlock in order to keep their money flow coming to them. They have to. And everything they do, from sex education classes in the schools of America to every move they make is to cause immorality in this country so they can keep that baby-killing machine going through there so they can keep that government money coming in. It's not about these women. Not one senator that's going to get up there tomorrow and act like he's so pious and holy cares about women. Not one of them. Not one of them cares about these girls out here getting raped. If they did, they would be after MS-13 and agreeing with the president to get these gangs out of here who are attacking girls in these cities. Amen. We got to leave them here. I'm not apologizing, but forgive me. This stuff wires me up. My hands are plugged into 220 tonight. Because of all the devious, upside-down frowardness and deceit and wickedness and the double standard that's going on in this country. Anyway, let's hit to Proverbs, Proverbs 12, 14, 5. Let's look at verse 25 in chapter 14. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 4. And the reason I'm doing this, I somehow or another never grabbed hold of the thought that this false witness business was so thick in the Bible. It is massive through the Bible. It's important for the freedom of a country. You cannot have freedom and have false witnesses running loose. You cannot have false witnesses destroying the justice system. 17, verse number 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. How many of them Democrat senators say, "Oh, I believe her"? I believe her. Yeah, I haven't heard nothing, but they believe her. Look at your Bible. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. It tells you what those kind of people are. They're wicked. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. They're liars and they're wicked. And by the way, listen to me. When you and I believe garbage on a fellow Christian without finding out the facts first, we're just as sorry. Amen. If somebody comes to me and say, "Did you hear about Danny Douglas?" "No, what?" "Well, come here, I'm gonna tell you." I don't tell anybody. When they say that, it's over. Yeah. Right? Amen. When they say, "Now don't tell anybody. Now don't tell anybody who told you this," you know right there you got a problem. You know, right there, they're trying to protect their lying ways. But you know what? If I go up, and I've known Danny since he was a kid, and I listen to that garbage, and all of a sudden I start being a little cold to Danny because, you know, I heard Danny. And then pretty soon, you know, I'm watching for evidences. I'm watching for a look on his face that would lead credence to what I heard. I'm going to tell you who's the wicked person. That's me. Because I gave heed to a naughty tongue. And if I really loved Danny, and I really thought there's any credence to what was told to me, I would say to that person, "Why don't you jump in my truck? I bet you anything Danny's home." And if they wouldn't do that, then another thing I probably ought to do is go to Danny and say, "Danny, I want to tell you something. I heard a story about you, and boy, I tell you what, it sounded true. And I don't want to believe it, but Danny, I've come to you and ask you." You owe it to the person to ask them. Amen. You owe it to them. There is more church trouble over this right here Somebody gets it in for somebody, it doesn't go their way, and so then they start trying to degrade somebody. More family trouble. And it's that frowardness, twisting that stuff, taking stuff out of context, taking stuff where, and you know, if Danny said something to me, a lot about it has to do with what was the look on his face, what was the attitude that he had, and what was the way he said it. But if I repeat it, and I take it, oh man, he was madder than three wet hens, and he was faunching. He almost steam was nearly coming out of his head when he said that to me. And I just, and oh my. And I may say what he said, but I totally twisted around where it means exactly the opposite of what he said. And it happens. And here's what God has dealt with me about today. And I'm going to get off of Washington, D.C. for a while. Because God said, Reggie, I'm going to tell you something. You better be sure when you're telling something, you tell it like it is. Not like you want it to sound, like it was. And Reggie, do you really know how it truly was? Or have you carved it all up in your mind to suit your preconceived ideas already? Reggie, are you a false witness? Do you tell the truth about a matter? Do you do your due diligence? You know, I just want to encourage us all night, because I'm telling you something, this stuff's coming in to judgment, and we better really, really be careful about this. That's why when I think about, I told a man this week, the Bible says that we're going to give an account of every idle word we speak. We are going straight into judgment with it. That's a trembling, trembling thought. It really is. And so I just want to encourage us tonight in this. Chapter Proverbs 21, verse number 28, 21, 28. Are you recording this, Brother Josh? Bless your heart, that's good. Put this on sermon audio, sister. I think this probably needs to be go. This deal here needs to go. Proverbs 21, verse number 28. A false witness shall perish. But the man that heareth speaketh. But the man that heareth speaketh constantly. You get into Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 18. Proverbs 25 and verse number 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, Matthew 15. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. And I'm not going to hit all these. I'm going to give them to you. I'm not going to read them all. But you can read these when you're at home, and I'll give you all the scriptures on the references. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 19. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts." What's the next one? False witness. I hadn't really caught that before, and I probably got some of those memorized. But somehow or another, they just really didn't really hit me. Here's what I'm going to get across to you tonight. I have never looked at false witnesses to be as wicked as the Bible says it is. Do you say, well, Reggie, I know it's wrong, but I never saw it as the damning, horrible, devastating, destroying, destructive practice that it is. And I'm praying to God tonight, Lord, purify me. Wake me up. Do a work in my heart that says, Reggie, be really careful what you say. You better be sure you're right. Because if you're just popping off, and you don't know all the facts, you're a false witness. And I just pray that's what it wants to get out of this thing. All right, you might write these down. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 18. Jesus there is telling the rich young ruler there the commandments, and he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Matthew chapter 26 and 27, this is where Jesus comes in and they start bringing the false witnesses in against him. Now let's go back clear to Joseph now. Go to Naboth. Jesus, what's the pattern? Did you know in your Bible you will never find anybody that lived a cleaner life than Joseph, Naboth, and Jesus? And one of the primary things about their life that they experienced was false witnesses. That tells me something. The more you try to live right and be a light for Jesus Christ, the more Satan's going to come at you to try to destroy your testimony with false witness. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. It's coming. They're going to just try to destroy your testimony with false witnesses. And now, there is no person We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm just going to give my personal take tonight. I honestly do not believe these women. I think they've been dredged up by the liberals to try to kill this nomination. Now, here's something I want you to take to the bank with you tonight. What is the purpose of false witnesses? What are they trying to do? Destroy you? Huh? Power? There's something they really want. And it has to do with what you're saying. They want to make you run. They want to make you quit. They want to make you stop. They want to make you give up. All day long, and I've watched this. This is orchestrated. All day long, there are different people that are calling for him to withdraw. Now, you listen to me tonight, because I've experienced this. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And I'm going to try to keep this in context. I would not doubt the least little bit that he did some things when he was a teenager that he's not proud of. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know if I know a human being that didn't do a few things when they were teenagers that they're not proud of. And he may be guilty. Now, she may be telling the truth. I do not believe he should withdraw, even if he did it, unless he lies about it. The reason I don't think he should withdraw if he did it is because who are you going to find? We hope that we can all change and be sorry for our sins and grow in the grace, and, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying he's even saved or anything about that. I'm just saying that, as a general rule, a lot of people do kind of halfway straighten up when they get older, you know, and quit some of that foolishness. But if he lies and says, oh, I didn't do that, and he did, then to me that disqualifies him because he's a liar and he has no business being on a judge's bench. Amen. Okay? So I'm not up here taking up for him. And what I'm saying is, so here's the deal. The accusers know, watch this, what I just said. They know that everybody has got stuff they're not proud of. Somewhere, somehow. Okay? And they're hoping that that will work on his conscience. And the whole idea is to get him to run. Now, you listen to me. In your walk with the Lord, if you're saved, you've been forgiven. Right? Now, all of us have to live with the scars of our past, and we have to live with the reaping of what we sow. But if you're going to let, here's where I'm going to. Every false accuser, most of the time, not every time, will have a little bit of truth. Or at least what they figure there'll be some truth to somewhere in there. And they're using that little bit of truth to drive you away from doing God's will in your life. And this is what I want to drive home here tonight. We need to make sure that our sins are under the blood and they're forgiven. Amen. And we need to make sure that if we're confronted with them, that we don't alibi and lie and justify and say, oh, I didn't do that when we did. But neither do we need to let people say things about us that would destroy our credibility and make us quit on God. And I've seen this. I'm tired of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I saw something. I did not listen to all of their interview the other night, but I'm going to tell you what I saw in his wife's face. Anybody else see it? She's tired of it. Let me tell you about these false accusers. They're praying. They're with everything within them. They're hoping that his wife says, honey, pull out. It's not worth it. And let me tell you about your false accusers. They're hoping you'll quit your marriage. They're hoping you'll quit church. They're hoping you'll quit on God. They want to drive you by their false accusations. You just want away from it. Most false accusations, you cannot disprove. Did you know that? You cannot disprove them. Because nobody's there to... It, number one, if it didn't happen, who could disprove it? And if you've got liars coming up and saying, oh, it did, have you noticed that he hasn't called up four or five people who were there at the party? No. It's only been because he doesn't have anybody to call. That is an evidence of what's going on. If he said, well, I have a buddy who was at the party, bring him up here. He hasn't done that. There's no buddies or girlfriends to call. All the ones that's been called are the names she gave. And I just want to, oh my, there's a, let me give you some more scripture tonight. You can go through the Gospels. Toward the end of all the Gospels, you'll read about where Christ was falsely accused. There's a lot to learn there. How to handle yourself under false accusement. What do you do when somebody falsely accuses you? Okay. How did Jesus handle false accusing? Answered not a word. Now, God had an ultimate purpose in those false accusers. There is a verse you want to hang on to with all your heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe tonight that God is going to take this thing going on in our country and he's going to work it out for good somehow or another. I don't know how. But this country needs to go through a ringer. This country needs to be wrung out. And I'm praying tonight that there'll be a breakthrough, because if we're going to go one way or the other. This is one of the biggest things that's ever happened to this country tonight because of where we're at. Because if he is destroyed, I don't see how we could ever have anybody. Number one, who would want to go through the process? Number two, if you really believe something, depending on what you believe, how constitutional you are, you know the more they're going to throw at you. And the senators, they're getting tired of going through the process. So what happens is the whole goal is to, we're going to knock him out. Now you bring us someone who's moderate. And again, I want to tell you what the ultimate goal of false witnesses is: to get rid of you. Potiphar's wife wanted rid of Joseph, and she did. Jezebel wanted rid of Naboth, and she did. The scribes and Pharisees wanted rid of Jesus, and they did. But they didn't really get rid of him, did they? And they didn't really get rid of Joseph, did they? And can I tell you something? They didn't really get rid of Naboth, because Naboth is with the Lord. And Naboth is going to have the last laugh, and Ahab and Jezebel's burning in hell. Amen. And so tonight I want to encourage you, whether it's you personally, whether it's your family members, whether it's a church member, a co-worker, let's not be among the false accusers. Let's not be among the false witnesses. Let's make sure that what we're saying is accurate, and that's not something we'd sure hate to face God with someday. And I need prayer in this, because I'm just pretty bad to shoot from the hip, you know, and that's not good. And the other thing I want to tell you is this tonight. The Bible says that our adversary, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. And I've never wanted to be on his side of the aisle. And when we falsely accuse, and he's a liar, so he's never accused anybody of anything that's totally the truth. There may be aspects that seemingly... But he's a liar. And he's an accuser of the brethren. And so let's not be accusers of the brethren. Let's not be sitting at the same side of the table the devil's on. Amen. Let's give people benefit of the doubt. And if it is true, let's try to restore them. What about that? With the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be taken. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about me tonight. I've been behind this pulpit a long time. And really ticks me off when somebody starts running the brethren of the church down. It really bothers me. You know, because I look out here and I see people who've been faithful. Not perfect people, but people who love the Lord. Want to see the cause of Christ go forward. Want to see people saved. And that somebody starts knocking them to me, I won't go for it. And that's just the truth. And I tell you, over the years, I've had to deal with it. And, you know, somebody gets it in for somebody or something like that, and it just burns me off. It just really does. And I don't handle it very well. And anyway, I'll shut my mouth. Lest I false witness. Anybody got anything before we go?
They'll do anything raised to keep a constitutionalist off the bench.
Yeah, that's right. They don't want a man on there that loves that constitution and will support that constitution.
Whatever they have to do, they'll do it.
They will.
They should have voted last week.
Yes, they should have voted last week. We need some.
Grassley should have been the chairman that
yeah.
day.
She didn't show up, they get the first chance, but yeah. She didn't take it.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell you about false witness. Call them on the carpet and do it in a hurry. When you're dealing with a false witness, don't give them no rope. Deal straight up. Give them a listen. Give them their opportunity. But don't piddle with them. Again, there's three or four other scriptures, but I think that's enough for tonight. It's 8:20. Can you believe we did that on Wednesday night? Mercy sakes alive. Love y'all. And let's go home. Have a good week. Let's pray for this country. And pray for these issues because it's important. It's really important. I'll tell you what, they know it's important. Our enemies know it's important.
Amen.
They know it's important. They're throwing everything. They're throwing the kitchen sink and everything else at them. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Dennis Martin, would you...